Hey guys, I'm excited today because I've got some old friends on the show, but for a new reason. So I've got Bob Hicks and Brittany Clark. You know them probably from Tales from the Dark, the podcast, the videos on YouTube, everything that we know and love from them. But they've got a new project out. They've got a documentary that is absolutely fantastic. It's on Amazon Prime right now, Phantom Farm. Guys, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
So let's rehash a little bit, Bob. Tell everybody first about the podcast you guys have and how they can listen to that.
Okay, yeah. So we run the Tales from the Dark podcast, and it's well about 3 years old now, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We got our start in a very weird way. I had a we didn't have any kind of like media background or anything, but I'd always been a fan of the paranormal. I grew up on paranormal reality television and always enjoyed high strangeness. And I came with this idea to Brittany. I'm like, hey, I know that we are trying to save up for a house and trying to have all these, adult
Decisions to
decisions to
make.
make. But how would you feel if we put all that on hold for a while and bought a bunch of really expensive equipment and started a YouTube channel? And Brittany's like, yeah, that sounds awesome. We should definitely do that instead of doing everything else.
That's how you know you're made for each other.
Yeah,
Oh,
exactly.
100%. So we started off chasing down this internet mystery, Fattel and payphones, and we kind of knew we were onto something special because within a week of me kind of planning this, the YouTube video goes up, and then we're in talks with the Detroit Metro Police Station to give us an escort because they were like, "Hey, the part of town you want to film in, it's not safe. They will steal your car. You will die." And I was like, "Oh, thank you, Detroit Police." And it was really something special to go up there. We filmed with a good friend of mine that I've known for a handful of years, and then we did Tales from the Dark YouTube for 3 or 4 months. And then I said, we should start a podcast. I think people would enjoy hearing your take on these crazy adventures. So we started Tales from the Dark, and next thing we know, I think we met you through Nick over at Brohio. Nick had us on for my Fattel videos, and he thought it was the craziest thing he's ever heard. And then, now here we are. We're available on all major podcast platforms, over 200 episodes later, and
Still chugging along.
we're still going.
It's a super fun show, and it seems like you guys, every time I turn around, you're on another show, whether it be YouTube or whether it be a podcast. And so this new venture that you have with Phantom Farms has really, really become a popular topic. Tell me a little bit about how you decided to do this documentary and a little bit about what goes into it.
Well, actually, I don't think we really knew that we wanted to do like a full-fledged documentary. We knew that we wanted to film when we went to Randolph County, but we didn't know that it was going to turn out to whatever we caught that night, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Tyler Terry, who he's a coworker of mine, and we've been paranormal pals. That's my best way to put it for half my life. We used to play music together when I was, 12, 13 years old in the in Sydney, Ohio.
Out in the
And
garage,
yeah,
yeah.
out in the garage playing at the local like Iudas Hall and stuff like that, and the DAV halls that would have us. And he comes to me and says, "Hey, have you ever heard of Randolph County Infirmary?" And I said, "No, I'm not really familiar." And he goes, "I want to show you this video. I want your opinion." And I kind of knew something was weird because Tyler's he's an extreme skeptic, like to the point that
He's
it
all
can,
the way over on the spectrum.
yeah, it can really get under your skin. And he goes, "Now I know what you're going to say before I show it to you, but I just want your opinion." And he shows me a video of Nathan Barnes, who's his film partner, getting allegedly scratched at Randolph County Asylum. And I'm like, "Really, you guys are better than this. What are you doing? Every ghost hunter show, someone gets scratched." He goes, "Well, no, watch the whole thing." So he pulls Nathan's shirt back and he has these raised welts. And I was like, "Okay." And he goes, "Bob, he was on camera for 20 minutes beforehand. He did not, from what I can see, he did not scratch himself." And I watched it back. I watched the body language. I'm like, "Okay, this is a guy who's a Navy veteran. He's a father. He's, definitely a masculine, manly man type of guy." And you could see on his face, he was scared.
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, I gotta see this place for myself. That's the only way I'm gonna believe that something is happening here." And we had the discussion of, do we want to film it? Do we not want to film it? And I was like, we've been talking about doing something for a while. Let's just film it. If we think we have something, great." So we reached out to Austin Lawrence, who's the author of Taylor Mill Horror. And again, in a very synchronistic way, I was in a band with Austin 10 years ago, had no idea he was into paranormal. He had his own YouTube channel at that time where he was traveling all over the country, and it just never came up. I happened to see he had a Facebook post about one of his old videos. And so I got a hold of him like, "Hey, are you a ghost hunter? Like, what?"
I never knew this about you.
Yeah. I'm like, "When did this happen?" He goes, "Yeah, forever, literally." And so he's like, "I'm also an author. I have this book out." So we had him on the show before this. And I'm like, "Let's get Austin involved. He has more experience than any of us in front of a camera. I want to see an outsider's perspective that doesn't know Tyler, doesn't know Nathan." So we brought out Austin, and next thing we know, we catch what I consider to be the most convincing paranormal evidence I've seen, period. I'm extremely, the Tales from the Dark audience listening knows this. I'm known for being the fun ruiner. People send me videos, "Bob, this is real. 100%. And I'm like, "Let me explain to you why it's not.
I'm going to break this down. Let me pull out the chalkboard, actually. And yeah. I'm going to explain this step by step."
Well, I come from a tech background. I'm a tech junkie, and I love the cinematic qualities of making a movie. Like, I want to know what goes into, how do you choose what program to edit on? That's my bread and butter. So I've gotten familiar with how a lot of these things can be faked. And when we caught the evidence at Randolph, you'll see it on my face. I'm like, we've been doing this for how long? I've never had anything even remotely close to this. And this just happened to me. And it was just an incredible ride. And now we have Phantom Farm out. It's available on Amazon Prime, and it's gotten a ton of feedback that we did not anticipate. Brittany was actually on the new local news yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
literally went down to the news station with Tyler and Nathan, and we were on the local news.
Yeah,
that's such a weird thing to say.
It's cool though when you make it to the local news, because you feel like that's a bigger deal than making it to the national news, because it's like, "Hey, all my friends and family can see this."
Exactly.
Well, my thing is, I grew up on Channel 2 News, and the weather guy has been the same weather guy since I was in middle school.
Oh my gosh, Tyler was fangirling over the
weather guy. He actually, when I was in sixth grade, the weatherman for Channel 2 came to our school, and I just had this memory this morning. He came and gave a whole presentation on meteorology. And it's hilarious to watch him still on the same channel. So it was one of those things, like, it's like, "Oh, I get to meet my heroes."
Tyler was ogling when we were in the studio yesterday.
Yeah. I think I made a post in our group. I'm like, "Look, Mom, we made it." Cause that, you know, it was great to be on Prime. It's great to see the numbers, the reviews. It's great to see other paranormal shows talking about it, but it's the local news. This is amazing.
I grew up watching this.
Right. Well, the video is actually pretty incredible. Prime, I will say this, they do a good job of having a lot of paranormal stuff up there as far as like documentaries and stuff like that. I find myself watching stuff on Prime more than anything when it comes to the paranormal. And I think this was a great addition, and it's fairly inexpensive, only a couple of bucks, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You can rent it for $2.
$2. So you can't beat that with a stick. And trust me, it's worth it. This is a full length documentary. And I'll tell you what I liked about it. I liked the style, Bob, that it was filmed in. And you had mentioned this, and I was going to say the same thing to you. It looks as good as anything you're going to see on, you know, Discovery or Travel Channel or anything. It's really professionally done.
We really appreciate that, Jerry. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, Tyler and I grew up on paranormal television. So we know what we like. We know what we didn't like. And we wanted to set out and make something that we would enjoy consuming. And we knew when once we made the decision that it was going to Prime, we knew if we're going to charge even 50 cents for this thing, it needs to be worth the cost of admission. So we went all out. I mean, Nathan went to film school, not for this project specifically, but he's a film school student. We read a ton of books, and we put our heart and soul into making sure that this looked like a professional production. And we wanted people to feel like they were involved in the investigation, because there's too many shows where they'll pull out like an EMF meter, and the assumption is that you, Jerry, know what this is ahead of time. Well, not right. Everyone does. You know, you might be interested in the paranormal, but you don't know what the box is in their hand and why it might be important.
Or how it works.
Yeah. So we made sure that we broke each bit of equipment we used. We broke it down into, you know, the simplest terms humanly possible, whether when it comes from the scientific side, because we even say in the documentary, you know, we don't even know if ghosts exist. Like we are that is our approach, is we believe in the phenomenon. We believe that there is something out there, but is it what we call ghosts? It could be, but it could also be an alien. It could be any of these preternatural beings. It just kind of comes down to what do you feel it could be in that moment? And then you have to make that decision. And we made sure in the documentary, We presented all the evidence we could, but we didn't tell you what we thought it was. We want to hear everyone else's opinion on
it's open-ended.
Yeah. What could this be? What does this mean to you? Cause we've heard everything from demons to, you know, crypto knots coming down. It just kind of depends on
the day and the person.
On the day and the person saying, hey, you know, I had the same thing happen when I was hunting for Mothman, exactly what you guys had. And I'm pretty sure it was a euphonaut. It was some kind of an alien being. And then people were like, hey, that's a demon. That is 100% a demon you guys were dealing with. And it's very interesting to see other people's reactions, because again, we made sure that we didn't tell you what we thought it was. We wanted you to make up your own mind.
I like that in the same sentence, we got euphonaut and kryptonaut out of your mouth. And I don't think either one of those have ever been said before on our show. And so it's kind of funny.
Well, hey, the thing is,
you gotta bring the variety.
Yeah, you have to. Not something we do at Tales from the Dark. We don't just cover paranormal. We do, you know, we have a series we do where it's for legal reasons, this is all a joke. And we just do the craziest conspiracies humanly possible. And it's my job to convince Brittany and then vice versa. And we have a little point system.
But that then, you always cheat at.
Yeah, but then a week later, you know, we might cover the JFK assassination. And then we'll dive into the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter. And we'll talk to Geraldine Sutton, have her on the show. So I try and keep it very open, because what I'm finding, especially now that I'm getting a little older and I'm able to actually travel and afford to travel, there's a lot more overlap and connection than I once thought. Initially, I thought that ghosts were their own thing. Aliens might exist. I don't know. And then cryptids could be their own thing. But now, to me, aliens are absolutely, they're a fact. That's not a question. And the camps kind of overlap more and more and more the longer you look at the topic. So
it's kind of funny that you said that, because the episode that we're doing this coming weekend is actually on parallel universes. And we discuss in part of that on how anything that we discuss on the show that could be paranormal or UFO or cryptid, how some people believe that could just be visitors from a parallel universe. So it is amazing how some of this stuff can possibly overlap.
I love and hate that theory so much. I will lose my mind when we actually dive into the multi-universe theory, because it's such a huge deal, but it's so simple with how we understand it right now, but you can expand upon it infinitely. And it just keeps getting more complicated and more complicated. And then next thing you know, you're wanting to pull your hair out. So, but that is something we absolutely talk about when it comes to high strangeness is, do we have another universe sitting right on top of ours? And there's some way for these beings, these creatures, these aliens, whatever we think they are, to come across into our realm and affect our realm.
Yeah, you can get super technical with that category. And I decided not to for our episode. Matter of fact, that's one of the things I start off saying is, look, we're not going to get, I'm going to give you some examples of why it's out there, but I'm not going to get super technical on it, because to be honest with you, that crap, most of it's over my head. And
I dragged Bob through that.
Yeah, we did that. And so there's only two episodes on Tales from the Dark that I will not recommend for a first time listener. It's our parallel universe episodes and our time travel episode.
Yeah,
because when we went down the time travel realm, so Brittany's a big science nerd. I call her, you know, we call her Mama Science over on the Tales from the Dark side. And when I started, you know, I would reference a very obscure theory, mathematical theory. She goes, oh, I know all about that. 20 minutes later, I'm like, okay, I barely made it through college, so I don't know what you're saying. This is terrifying, because I thought it was all nonsense, and I was making a joke, and you're like, no, this is why it's possible. And I was like, okay, well, now I hate everything. Thank you.
Yeah, I can get that. I used to listen to a couple of podcasts, and the guys were a lot younger and smarter, and they were super educated. And a lot of times they would get on a topic, and I'm like, I had you the first 5 minutes, but the last 30 minutes, I don't even know what the hell you said. So I get it.
I've been there, man. Trust me.
Well, so tell me this. I know you said, you were telling me earlier, because I'm fascinated by this, that you guys used a couple of different methods for filming this. You had two or three different cameras you used and some drone footage. I find that absolutely fascinating, just to find a little bit about the technical side of stuff. So you guys had a camera you would use for dark shots, a camera you would use for, I guess, daytime stuff, and you had a drone. Tell me a little bit about what goes into figuring out which camera to use to get the best effect that you're trying to put forth?
Well, it's a lot easier now than it was 15, 20 years ago. Because I remember when I first started, you had one option if you wanted to do night vision shots, and that was the Sony Handycam.
Yep.
I talk about the Sony Handycam. It's got a special place in my heart. And I'm going to buy one day just to sit in the studio because it just resonates with me. But typically how you, if you're trying to get into documenting the paranormal or just any of this sort of stuff, look at the ISO range and then use YouTube. I have learned more. I have two college degrees and I've learned more from YouTube than I did in college. And I mean that completely sincerely. Go on YouTube and just Google go on YouTube and just search, you know, Panasonic S5, which is the rig I personally use for Phantom Farm, night shots or daytime or cinematic. And you'll see a ton of tech YouTubers break it down in terms that anyone can understand, even if you're not a tech person. And I highly recommend that everyone goes that route. And then with the drone, again, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that wasn't an option for anyone that wasn't a major motion picture. You know, drone enthusiasts now, I've seen them build for $130 and they look great. So what we kind of do when we have this approach is we try and find a shot that we like, and then we decide what do we like about it. So,
and how can we recreate it? Because, and what do we like about it exactly?
Exactly. So when we break down, you know, when it came down to what shots do we use for the day and the nighttime, it just came down to which camera, in our opinion, looked better and looked closest to the shot that we'd imagined in our brains. And it's actually incredibly simple of just what do you think looks best? Because everyone's going to have their own opinion. And someone's going to say, hey, I would have done the exact opposite. Well, that's awesome. Show me your movie and then I'll watch it. But that's kind of how we approached that. And then with the drone footage, this is a PSA to all would-be filmmakers. Do not fly a drone inside of a basement because it will hit the wall and smack you in the face. And then you'll have to go through an entire investigation covering up blood because I did that. We were filming some B-roll in the basement. And I had this idea because I couldn't run fast enough with my gimbal and my handheld camera to get this really cool swooping shot into the darkness. I flew my drone. I got a little notification on my phone that said, hey, there's no connection to the satellites. Be careful.
Because that's how drones run, is they connect to the satellite and then bounce off your phone. That's how you control it.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm sure that that doesn't mean anything. Well, it turns out it means that you'll lose signal. So I go to grab my drone and it just flies away from me and it hits the ceiling, hits the wall and smacks me in the face.
Now keep in mind, I wasn't in the building, so maybe I could have prevented that from happening.
Well, you had like three guys and we're all like, we weren't concerned with safety as much as this is going to be one of the coolest shots we've ever gotten. So that was, you know, that was number one. And again, I don't recommend anyone do that, but that's kind of how we approach it is we did a ton of research going into it with which cameras work better with our, especially like with our personalities and the way that we enjoy shooting. So I'm 6'6". So I have to have a camera that I can hold at chest level or sternum level so I can get the right shot. Tyler's 5'2" on a good day. So he doesn't have that same problem. He doesn't have to worry about what equipment he purchases for his size. So there's a lot that goes into it on that side. But the number one way that we kind of decided everything was just watch reviews on YouTube religiously, figure out what works. And camera companies now, they push out a firmware update that will completely change how the camera looks. You'll get a free upgrade with a firmware update. And again, I come from an era where to get an upgrade, you had to buy the next camera. Now, the S5, in my opinion, was relevant for the entirety of its existence. They fixed the problems consistently through firmware updates, and it's a
added really, new features. Yeah, it's a really keep up with competition. Was crazy.
Yeah, it's a really cool time that we live in now that you don't feel like you wasted your money because the next best thing came out.
Well, the movie, like I said, it looks absolutely fantastic. It's as professionally done as anything I've ever seen. You know, if you'd have just showed me the movie and said, you know, the guys from over there did that, I would be like, no, come on. because it really looks like something that you guys do for a living every single day. It was fantastic done. And I advise everybody to put your $2 down. You won't be sorry. And go out and watch Phantom Farm.
Oh, I definitely appreciate that, Jerry. And this is our first time doing this. You know, we had the podcasting background. We knew how to make the audio sound good because that's something we learned the hard way with some previous videos, that it doesn't matter. You can have the most beautiful, breathtaking footage ever. And if it sounds like you're talking through
a tin can,
no one is going to watch it. And so we really took audio seriously to the point where we had the talking heads that we filmed, which are a critical part of the film that kind of introduced the investigators, give you guys a background on who they are, why they're actually here.
Transition the investigation. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were shot with three different microphones and then all merged together into one just to get the perfect audio clarity we were looking for. And that's something that I think we kind of lucked out on being extremely picky as podcast hosts, making sure that our audio sounds good, because that's, you know, that's gonna be the expectation, is if your podcast audio sounds one way and your video sounds 10 times worse, no one's going to really take you seriously.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I thought you guys did a fantastic job, and I'm excited for you guys to see where the future ends up, because I got a feeling there's going to be some more of this in your near future.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We've been asked the question, so I'll go ahead and answer it. We are in the process of planning the next one. This took an entire year. It took from last May to January of this year to complete. So we're kind of basking in I hate using the term basking in the success, but we're basking in the fact that we finished the project, because it was something that for
a minute, we didn't know if you were going to be able to finish it.
Yeah, we were happy with it. And then another little insider secret here, the entire documentary was edited on an iPad.
Oh my God.
That's something that we haven't told anybody yet, but Tyler Terry he's a phenom and he's a force to be reckoned with, but he had his idea. He knew the program he wanted to use. It was called LumaFusion on his iPad Pro. And we sent him all the footage and he put all that together on an iPad, which to me makes it 10 times more impressive, because I'm a tech guy. I have a $10,000 computer sitting behind me, and well, $10,000 setup, not necessarily computer, but the fact that he did all that on an iPad and then, you know, it's up on Prime Video to this day, as a tech nerd, is just like, wow, that's something
that should not have happened.
Yeah. And that's what I kept telling him. I'm like, dude, I will build you a computer. I will buy it for you. He's like, no,
I got this.
We're doing it on an iPad. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. You know what you're doing.
Yeah. Just give me the cash.
Yeah. It was a ton of fun. And it was a labor of love. You know, cause I know you and I talked off air briefly about how much these kind of projects cost. We will never recoup how much a project like this actually costs, but we loved every second of it. And I think Tyler put it best. He said, if you're going to do something, or if you're going to do something you love and it's expensive, just make a movie about it with your friends and it'll be worth it. And he said something along those lines on Twitter.
And that was like the sweetest thing Tyler's ever said to us, honestly.
Yeah. And I was a huge, you know, that kind of hit home where I'm like, you know what? It was definitely worth it when it was all said and done. Cause we've had the conversation, do we sell this to a network? We've had some people approach us. We want to keep it how it is in its entirety right now. You know, I'm not saying we would never work with a network on any kind of project, but when it comes to things like Phantom Farm and the next documentary we're in talks with, it has to come from our creative minds a very certain way. And it has to come through with the experience we've had and we've gained through Tales from the Dark, or coming on Hillbilly Horror Stories, or coming on Brohio. I want to make sure that all of that experience shines through in any project that we do. And so I'm very terrified to bring on anyone, because like Brittany said at the beginning, it was five of us, two of us filmed, and it was a five-man project to get this entire documentary out.
Nice. Well, I wish you guys nothing but the best of success on everything you got moving forward. And I know you've got a bunch of other projects that are going on as we speak. Bob, tell everybody how they can keep up with what's going on with you guys.
Oh, that's a whole list right there. So talesfromthedark.net, that's our website. If you guys have any stories you want to submit, we do a listener series stories over on our podcast, Tales from the Dark. You can find Tales from the Dark on every podcast host at this point. We've gone above and beyond to make sure it's available everywhere for everyone. And then I'm also the narrator for the YouTube channel Missing Persons Mysteries, where we cover true crime content, missing persons cases. We have like five new series we just started over there. And Facebook is the number one way to get a hold of us. If you guys join the Tales from the Dark group on Facebook, it's a bunch of memes. It's a big community of people who just are
bunch equally, of weirdos. Yeah, yeah.
Are equally weird. We wanted to make sure that we had a safe space for everyone to come and have conversations. So you might join and that day we're discussing, you know, time travel and string theory. And then you might join and it's just Mothman's butt for the entire day. You never know what you're going to get in the Tales from the Dark group, but that's, I think, everything right now, but I'm sure I'm forgetting a million things, because we're constantly doing something new.
Well, it's okay, because it keeps everything fresh. Bob, Brittany, thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
thanks, Jerry. And again, real fast, we are extremely happy that you're healthy. You're back with us. You gave us quite a scare there, and we were worried about you. So we're glad to see you here, and we're glad to see you back in the old saddle.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm back to working 100 hours a week now, so things are back to normal, I would say.
Well, again, we really appreciate your time, Jerry. And again, we'll have you back on the show. There's only a handful of guests that people are like, hey, bring back Jerry. You're one of them. Cause like, hey, you know, we like that you asked Jerry about his comedy. We want to hear more about that. I'm like, Jerry has one of the biggest paranormal podcasts in the game right now. And you want to hear about his comedy? Yes, let's do it. So, be surprised if we reach back out to you for another interview here soon.
It would be fun probably to talk about the old days. It's a aspect of my life that I don't mind talking about, and I don't talk about much anymore. So
let's do it.
Good. Yep. We appreciate it, Jerry. Thank you so much, man.
Y'all have a good one.
You too.